the Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you this afternoon?
Well, thanks. And you?
Most well. Looking forward to our chat this afternoon. Lots going on in your part of the world, but that's not unusual. So let's start off with the Iranian nuclear negotiations. I believe they're taking a maximalist approach.
Spoke a little bit about it yesterday, saying that an Iranian official basically said that they wished the total destruction of the state of Israel. But this is not one where Israel is going to take it lying down. We're speaking to all of our allies, our regional allies, our allies just outside the region, the United Kingdom, as you and I spoke about yesterday, and others, and we will be doing everything in our power to ensure that there is no nuclear Iran.
Is that the very strong message that Bennett is giving to world leaders and allies, that this mustn't result in a bad compromise?
He's basically saying that, and saying don't give in to Iranian blackmail either, which is very strong words coming from our Prime Minister, not holding anything back.
Okay, well, you'll keep us updated with developments there, that's for sure. Now and again, when we talk, I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe. Some stories are so patently absurd, as is this next one. UN solidarity with Palestinians on partition plan anniversary. Just remind me who exactly rejected the partition plan.
Let's go back several decades to the United Nations. And yesterday was the anniversary of the UN voting on the partition plan. And if we go back into our time machines and go back to the United Nations, what was then British Mandate Palestine, and there were no Palestinians as we understand the term Palestinians today. Back then there were Palestinian Jews and Palestinian Arabs, but not the national movement we know today. The land was divided between Jews and Arabs. The Jewish leaders at the time accepted what was given to them, and it was markedly smaller than what was apportioned to the Arab population. The Arab leaders declined. They said they will not accept it. They then declared war on what was then the fledgling Israeli state, and also convinced their citizens at the time to leave until they had, quote-unquote, thrown the Jews into the sea. Now we know the rest is history. They did not accept that plan. They haven't accepted plans ever since. And the result is that we have several decades of conflict with our Palestinian neighbors. Now, yesterday at the United Nations, instead of using the opportunity to maybe not admonish, but appeal to Palestinians to accept peace when it is put on the table, or come at least to the negotiating table with some points and we can start negotiating from there, the United Nations decided to hold an event in solidarity. I think it is Mohammed al-Kurd, one of the most aggressive anti-Israel commentators online, reading a poem out calling for the empire. I mean, I didn't know we were an empire. Clearly, I did not get the memo. I must have been storming something at the time that we will fall just like other empires, which is quite ironic because we are commemorating Hanukkah. And there's a whole stack of so-called empires that have crumbled. But here we are. We're still here in our tiny little country. Our ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, admonished the United Nations, saying that, you know, you're showing a day of solidarity to people who turned down the very opportunity to have a state, and now we have a perpetual conflict.
And also being reported that Mohammed Abbas kind of making implicit threats. Hard to see what he's actually threatening, but appears to be threatening Israel. If you don't proceed, then we will take steps. Just don't know what those steps are.
Well, this is it. Mahmoud Abbas is no stranger to making threats. I think he also does this at a time because he is losing the popularity of the streets. More and more criticisms and protests against him. I mean, I did have to laugh that Hamas have declared the Palestinian Authority to be hegemonic, that they're almost a police state. I mean, you couldn't make this up. In fact, I will read to you, Hamas say the Palestinian Authority is a totalitarian regime with gangs and mafias. I mean, hello, part, I am Kate Hall calling. you cannot make this up.
Oh, my goodness me, Rolene. And then picking up on the story.
I mean, I don't know. Do you get Hanukkah feel? I mean...
Yeah, no, I'm gobsmacked. I am absolutely gobsmacked. Do not know what to say in response to that. But a better outcome in respect of the squash championships to be held in Malaysia.
Yes, so we spoke the other day that Malaysia were not giving visas for the Israeli squash team, this is the men's squash team, to attend the World Men's Championships. Now, Israel had threatened to go to the International Sports Ombudsman in Switzerland to lay a complaint. And at the time, and you and I said that we were hoping for stronger language from the World Squash Federation, who said, well, they want a practical and amenable outcome. Well, yesterday they made the decision to cancel the championships outright in Malaysia. It will probably be moved to another country. It's been touted as New Zealand. But they said that they want an open and inclusive tournament and will not tolerate this kind of discrimination, so have henceforth taken the championship away, or the rights to host it away from Malaysia.
We've got a little bit of time left this afternoon, Rolene. I did start the show an hour ago talking about the University of Toronto, the student union, pretty much passing a resolution that would prevent kosher food from being supplied to students. They need to find a provider who does not support the apartheid state of Israel. And I thought it might be interesting to get your take on that particular story.
Well, if ever there was a gross form of discrimination against Jewish students, that, you know, we'll take your right to religious observance away based on our political beliefs, I think that is absolutely appalling. I know that the dean of students has lambasted these comments, but, you know, I always find it grotesque and ironic that these very student bodies that advocate inclusiveness and intersectionality and all the lovely buzzwords that we are becoming familiar with, when it comes to Jewish students, this is the most appalling kind of discrimination, that you will have no right or access to kosher food. I mean, first of all, Simon, don't take away a Jewish person's right to eat. That is just absolutely appalling. But besides that, it's that is going to the very heart of something that is sacred to Judaism, and that is our right to observe the laws of Kashrut. And they are making this political, unless you find an anti-Zionist kosher food provider. Well, good luck with that, because that's not going to be forthcoming in the least. And I also find it ironic, because Food Benders, the very anti-Israel food establishment in Toronto, was shut down. And one of the reasons is because they're so vehemently discriminatory. And here we see it at a university, very, very worried that the student body would take this decision. One, I hope, is not repeated on any other campus and is, in fact, repealed by the university. And, you know, we always say what starts with Jews doesn't end with Jews. And if I was another minority community that observed specific dietary religious laws, I would be wondering if I was next.
Very valid point you made, Rolene Marks. As always, thank you so much for your input this afternoon.
It is my pleasure. I will join you, Sparky Hills and Sufganiyot, tomorrow.